Well, if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to pick up with verse 8. The title of the message is Called to Blessing. Called to Blessing. And our text reads, finally, Peter now is wrapping up his exhortations. If you remember, he talked to those, he said, servants, be submissive to your masters. Talked about being submissive to government. Then he talked about wives and their response and submission to their husbands. Then he talked about husbands and how they're to treat their wives. And then he wraps it all up and he says, finally, in verse 8, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers. Be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, nor reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And then verses 10 through 12 is a quote from Psalm 34 and Psalm 37. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen. That's our text for today. Amen. God willing, we'll get through it all. Amen. If not, we'll pick up on it next week as well. But let me start off by reminding us, and I love this because God is constantly turning my attention toward all that he has done. When the bulk of my Christian walk has been pretty much focused on what I was supposed to do, which eventually got me tied up in a knot like a pretzel because I was so focused on what I was supposed to do. And I kept hearing preaching about what I was supposed to do such that the foundation wasn't laid for me to do it all. And the foundation is that before God tells you to do anything, he has done it all. Oh, hallelujah. I'm smiling a whole lot more now in my latter days. I'm smiling a whole lot more because I know that God will never tell me to do something I can't do. Not only that, he will never tell me to do something that he has not already made provision for and given me the strength and the grace to accomplish. Because no parent would tell their 3-year-old child, go take the car and go to the store and get the groceries and come back. I mean, come on. I mean, you wouldn't do that. That'd be cruel, right? So we must remember, you know, whenever I come to a text and the apostle is about to tell us to do something, whenever he tells us to do something, I'm always referred back. Hold on, make sure you look back and see what God has already done, because you can't do anything until God has done something. Hello. Remember what Jesus says? You can do, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Okay. So that presupposes that he must have done something if we're going to do something. Jesus said, my Father works and I work. In that order, my Father works and I work. Jesus was the God-man. And we only work after God works. And if God doesn't work, we have nothing to do. Amen? The scripture, Psalm 127, said, he who builds the city, So he works in vain. If God doesn't build the city, the laborer works in vain. Huh? If God doesn't protect the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. Hello? Yes, he is. And so let's deal with it. He says, finally, all of you be of one mind. That one mind. Be of one mind. God help us. That word means like-minded, harmonious, okay? Be of one mind. And yet, Peter isn't the only one to use this term, as we have it here, in the scriptures, in the New Testament. Because, and what I love so much about the Bible is this, it is its own commentary. I love the scriptures in this is that God has much to say about one topic or one phrase, whether you're studying mountains, rocks, stones, rivers, light, doesn't matter what it is. It's all the water. It's all throughout the Bible. There are so many scriptures that have to do with what you would go to study. And so even as we come upon this, and Peter says, be of one mind. The Greek word means to be like-minded. And so we not only see that, but we see Paul using the term. We also see Luke, Dr. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. He used the term over and over again, and in the book of Acts, it's translated, be of one accord. Be of one accord. Or to be unanimous in one's thinking. And Peter is saying for the people of God, the saints of God, to be of one mind. Paul said it this way in Romans 15 and 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be beautiful if God's people had one mind and with one mouth glorify God together? Would be a beautiful thing. Paul goes on and says this in Romans 12 and 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Be of the same mind toward one another. And when I read these, as I was studying this, my heart was really moved and touched, because when I look at the body of Christ, that's not us. He says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. 2 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And so, in other words, Peter is saying to have the same mind one toward another, which means this, that if we're two Christians and I have compassion on you, then what should be your attitudes toward me? Compassion. Be of the same mind one toward another. But saints, we're not there. We're not there. Let me read an account. This has to do with two evangelicals, well-known evangelicals, if you will. Russell Moore, this was in June, the Washington Post article in June of this year. Russell Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Council, tweeted, "The reports of the conditions for migrant children at the border should shock all of our consciences. Those created in the image of God should be treated with dignity and compassion, especially those seeking refuge from violence back home. We can do better than this." He posted the comments with a news report saying the government had moved hundreds of children from a Texas border facility after being detained in perilous conditions. Jerry Falwell Jr., president of Liberty University and an influential evangelical voice, replied, "Who are you, Dr. Moore? Have you ever made a payroll? Have you ever built an organization from any type of scratch? What gives you authority to speak on any issue? I'm being serious. You are nothing but an employee, a bureaucrat." And so when why am I mentioning this? I'm mentioning it because politics have divided the church. I'm going to pause for effect and let it sink in. Then I will repeat it. Politics has divided the church. It's dividing. That's what's happening right here. Peter said, be of one mind, one to another. Okay? So, what should be our mindset? What should be the mindset here? The mindset should be this: we're brothers. We are brothers in Christ, and I will not attack you. I will not attack you. And to jump down further in the notes, I'm to bless you. I am to bless you. That's my response. And yet, politics in our nation, race, culture is dividing the church. There are people who'll say, I am for this over here, and they won't associate with brethren over here. Did you just hear what I said? They will associate, in other words, they will exalt their ideology and what they want. And we know what it is. It's all about flesh and selfishness. That's what it is. Bottom line, it's all about, that's what it's about. I want this. And because you don't, I won't associate with you. That is not Bible. That is not Jesus Christ. That is not the Father. The Father's will for us is that we have one mind. And Jesus Christ is the king of the church. He's the head of the church. And he as the head, we are his body, and we are together. We have the same mind. We have one mind in Christ Jesus. Why is this oneness so important? Why is Peter saying, finally, you all be of one mind? Well, part of the reason is, and very important reason is, because Jesus prayed for it. Didn't he? He prayed for it. It's the will of God for us to be one. One in Christ and under Christ. Not one under some ideology. Not one under race. That's why, and I've had so many people come to this church over the years and say, I've actually had pastors ask me, how is it that you have black people and white people in your church? I'm like looking at him like, how is it that you don't? Because we're not an anomaly. Not in God's eyes. Have you read the scriptures? It said that in his kingdom were people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You look at the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 12. They're from everywhere. Hello. All kinds of people were there. But what happens is that if we're not careful, we will allow ourselves to be blocked off, and we will become tribal, where we get with our tribe, us four and no more. And we all look alike, think alike, talk alike, smell alike. Whew. Need to be aired out. Come on now. If we're not careful, that's what we'll become. And that is not God's will for us. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Oh, God, help us to see when we pass away that that's really what's going on. I'm coming. I come to you. My 3-year-old brother, he passed away when he was 3 years old. He was at the hospital having I forget what they call it. When you have sickle cell anemia, you go through these very painful attacks. And he was having an attack. And when it was over, they were going home. And my three-year-old brother, my mother told me this, looked up at her and said, Mama, I'm going home. And she said, yeah, baby, we're going home. We're leaving the hospital right now. He said, no, Mama, I'm going home. And he went home. And my mother told me the same thing happened with my baby sister, Sarita, when she was 5 years old. She said, Mama, I'm going home. Mama didn't question her. In 1970, she went home. Jesus said, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Now, scriptures like this make me pause and want to spend weeks on. I'm like, Jesus, he's praying for us something that to experience something that he and the Father have. Come on now. Come on. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm like, yes, Father, I want this. I want to see this. I want to see that prayer become reality. But he's praying that we would be one as he and the Father are one. Now, here's what's so interesting to keep in mind concerning the Godhead. There's nothing that one desires that the others don't desire. Now plug that into what I just said about the church and how some people say, this is what I want. This is what I believe politically. This is what I believe about race. This is what I believe. And we're all separated. Why? Because we all have desires that we deem are high and mighty. And I'm right. And you're wrong. You don't have that in the Godhead. When the Father determined that the Son would give his life, would have to lay down his life to redeem us. The moment it became the Father's will, the Son and the Spirit said, yeah, I mean, it was just, they're just one. They never separate. There is no division in the Godhead. None. The moment it's one's will, it's all their wills. And he's praying that that would be a reality for us. Not that once something becomes my will, that it becomes all your will. But that when it's his will, it's all of our will. That's what it is, okay? Right? So, John 17, 21, Jesus goes on and says, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may know, that the world may believe that you sent me. The world believing that God sent Jesus has a great deal to do with us being one. And because we aren't, the world isn't believing too well. Hello. And the glory you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Peter said, be of one mind. And that's my prayer. God, help us to be of one mind. And I'm not just talking about, I pray that for our church, but I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about the church in America, the church in Uganda, in Ghana. Come on. The church worldwide, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said this, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He wanted them to be able to speak the same things. You know, why was that? Some of it was because when later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a man who had slept with his father's, with his stepmother, his father's wife. And the Corinthians had not mourned. He said, you're rather puffed up that this thing was done among you. In other words, some people in the church was like, hey, man, no problem. People, you know, we all sinners. You know, I mean, you're going to have a day where you slip up and what you bothering the brother for? And I hear that big time of the day in the church, in what, quote unquote, amongst quote unquote Christians. Yeah, everybody saying, come on, get off his back. No. Paul was No, I don't work like that. He says, no, when my spirit along with the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ are joined with you, you turn one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You know, and he's saying, be of the same mind and of the same judgment. You can't be divided in this thing. You understand? And so we have a lot of goings on in the church right now. Regarding sexuality is all over the map. Hello. God help us. I believe that the true church, I believe those who name the name of Christ who are truly his will endure whatever tribulation and persecutions that they will have to suffer to live under his name. Because it's coming to that in this country. where you already listed a homophobe if you say, well, we don't believe that you're to live that way. It's already like, you know, people come, and some folks in the church coming after you. Okay, well, you need to read the book. Democratic, they just had a Democrat, the equality debate or whatever. And I didn't see it, but I heard Cory Booker, someone said, was asking Cory Booker about, you know, equality and so forth. And he pulled out a scripture. You know, of course, you can take the Bible and justify anything you want to because it's so vast. But he pulled out Micah 6:8. Which says, I have shown thee, O man, what is good, but what does the Lord require of thee but to do good, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And that's the scripture that he quoted. The problem was he associated with the LGBTQ plus community and said, hey, just love the people. Now, you do love the people. I'm straight with that. You love the people. But we're not going to teach our children. We're not going to condone the activity. And we're not going to allow you to come up into the church and live your reality or live your quote-unquote truth in our midst. That's not going to happen. You see what I'm saying? And so, as I said, things are all over the place. All over the place. Be interesting if Paul was alive today and heard what was being taught, how Paul would respond. Philippians 1:27, Paul goes on and says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He goes on and says in Philippians 2:2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And so throughout the scriptures, the Holy Spirit was exhorting the church. And we're reminded that he's exhorting the church. He gives us grace to be one, but then it becomes our obligation and our responsibility to be of one mind, right? That's my responsibility as a child of God in the family of God. But he goes on, he says, this one mind, it has to do with this, having compassion one for another. The word means in the Greek, having a fellow feeling or being sympathetic to someone in their need, mutual commiserative, another by implication it says here. And so we need to be able to identify with someone who's hurting or someone who's struggling. And that's another thing that the church just doesn't do real well at. Let's be honest. At that same Democratic convention debate, a transgender woman came up and took the mic and would just started talking and everything. And there was no judgment in my heart for that person. All I wanted to do was hear. I'm praying, Lord, help me hear what she's saying. Because even though people are all messed up in the thinking. See, here's the thing about Christ. You don't have to tell people, listen, you're transgender, you need to stop. Listen, if they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, guess what? He's going to clean them up. You ever heard people say, you don't clean the fish before you caught them? Yeah, anybody ever heard that? Well, in the natural, you can't clean a fish before you done caught it. Okay, so in the spirit, you don't try and clean up a person's life when they ain't even saved. And I say, ain't on purpose. Yes, I know. I said that, you know, I know is they aren't even saved yet, but I use ain't for, you know, some punch, you know what I'm saying? I know proper English, but I'm going to use ain't, okay? And so I'm saying that. So we need to be able to hear people in the midst of their pain and all of their out of sortness, in the midst of their sin. Why did I say that? Because that's what God listened to us where we were. Hey, hello? And he wasn't standing there going, oh my God, I can't do it. Hello, y'all. Come on. The church needs to, oh God, the church needs to become like Christ. Fancy that. You mean we're not? Look at it. Look at it. Calling people homophobes and every other type of thing, making fun of them. That's not Christ, church. Look at the Bible. Jesus didn't do that. You say, oh, must not be no homosexuals around. The gay lifestyle must not have been around when Jesus was there. Are you serious? Hello. that we're flaming homosexuals. That whole lifestyle has always been around. Devil ain't doing nothing new. Same thing. But you never saw him respond to people the way we respond. Peter said, having compassion one for another. Hebrews 5:2, I love this. Speaking about high priest, it said this. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. This is talking about the Levitical priesthood. It says this, he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray. You mean God expected the high priest to have compassion on those people who were ignorant and going astray? Yeah. Since he himself is also subject to weakness. Now, that was under the Old Testament. Our New Testament high priest comes. What does he do? He comes and he lived as you and I do in the flesh, subjected himself to weakness so that he can know the very pit of everything you and I go through. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Wherefore, he is able, come on, he is able to identify with everyone in the midst of their sin. And he does. Do we? Do we? Like I said, years ago, I was 25 years old, whatever, thereabouts, and two homosexuals approached me and Giant. And I'm working, putting up, I had big bulging muscles back then, I guess, and I don't have that now, but that's a joke. Anyhow, they approached me and said, hey, what are you doing after, one was black, one was white. I can see him now. I'm looking at him. And they said, what are you doing after work? And I was like, well, not what you think, you know. I just looked at him. I said, okay. And see, I looked at the situation. I knew what was up. I knew what was up. And I said, let me tell you something. And then I did tell him this. I said, let me tell you something. See, what you want ain't here. It ain't here. But I can tell you where it's at. I said, you're looking for Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that can satisfy the desire of your soul. He's the only one can do it. I said, now, you want to talk about Jesus after we get done with this thing? I said, hey, I'm up for that. And they said, okay, well, you know, see ya. And they got on out of Dodge, you know. But, hey, I gave them the truth. I gave them what they needed. Because, hey, I know what's up. You know, it ain't nothing in here. Come on. There's nothing in here. I'm busy running to him myself. What you talking about? You come with me? And we can all get whole and right together. But, hey, yeah. So Jesus came and he identified with our weakness. This is why we don't need to be mean or talk about people's lifestyles behind their backs, laugh at them and all. No. What do you mean? What do you mean? But for the grace of God, there go I. Hello. So he goes on and he says, after having compassion for one another, he says, love as brothers. Love as brothers. Or love as brethren. The Greek word is philadelphos, from which we get our word Philadelphia. City of brotherly love, it's called, right? The word means, that's in the New Testament. The word means fond of brethren. That's what the Greek word means. Fond of brethren. Or fraternal. Hello? I like to think of it as this. It's how we know when one truly belongs to Christ, because 1 John 3:14 says this. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. John said this. He goes on to say, he says, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you why I come to church. I do not come to get brownie points with God. I do not come because the Bible says you better go to church. It's a requirement to be saved. You know why I come to church? Because I love you. I love being with you. I love talking to you. I love God's people. See? I love any time I get with, it doesn't matter what whoever I am, whether I'm with Bill or Eric or Carl or Dan or Tim, and we sit down and talk, or Dan, and we just hit it. And it's just because his spirit is in both of us, and we minister one to another. And life, there's a life-giving relationship going on here. I love the body of Christ. Now, let me share something with you. Watch people who call themselves Christians but never, never go to be with God's people. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I didn't say it. The book says it. When you have truly been born again, you're going to love those who also have been born again. Okay? And so Peter says, love as brothers, being tenderhearted, which means pitiful. Pitiful. Now, pity sometimes can be a hard thing to find, because it's like, stop having a pity party, pity party, pity party. But you know what? God had pity on us. He had pity on us. Come on. In the midst of our sin, he reached down in our death and hauled us out of it through his death. He had pity on us. Ephesians 4:32, Paul says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You know, when someone really offends you good, hello, come on, they get on, you have one nerve left, and they all over it, okay? And their brother or sister in Christ. Guess what? That's opportunity for you to do. Be pitiful. Have mercy. Pity them. Forgive them. Because that's exactly what God has done for you. Hello. Huh? That's what he said. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Then he says, be courteous. Be courteous. Which means humble of mind. Be humble in our thinking of ourselves, right? And so now, after Peter has told us what to do by the grace of God, by the power and strength of God, verse 9, he starts to tell us what not to do and why not to do it. What not to do and why not to do it. Verse 9 says, not returning evil for evil, nor reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. He didn't qualify that. He just said, don't return evil, which speaks to a deed. Reviling speaks to what one says, but evil speaks to what one does. It in the Greek, it's worthless, depraved, or injurious, speaking of the evil. When someone does something evil toward you, Peter is saying, don't return it. Paul said in Romans 15, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what Paul said by the Spirit of God. You mean, you pastor, you telling me that when somebody does me wrong, I'm supposed to turn and do them good? That's exactly what I'm telling you. And then you say, how on earth am I supposed to do that? And the answer is by the power of the Holy Spirit living within you. Because he doesn't return evil for evil. He's looking to do everyone good. You say everyone? I said everyone. I said everyone. We're going to get to it in a second. Oh, God, help us, Father. Help us, Lord, to live this out. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Now, you know, when someone says something to you, I told you the other day, this biker was biking and I kind of got in his way. He thought I was in his way. And he cursed me. I went home, told Justin, I said, son, that man cursed me. You know, and it's the summertime, so I had my window down, so I heard what he said. You know, and I pulled off around the corner and, you know, my mind thinking about it, first of all, you know, my mind. No. Actually, my mind went to Galatians 3:13, which says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Proverbs says, the curse causeless shall not come, which means if someone go put a curse on you, can nobody put a curse on you? Not unless you give them a reason, not unless you by your sin. See, the curse came on Adam and Eve because they sinned. That's why the curse came. But the curse causeless shall not come. So I'm not scared of any witch doctor, any witch or anything like that, because you can't put a curse on me. Hello. Come on. And so, you know, I thought about the scripture, and I thought, man, I ain't thinking about that guy. Lord, I said, I'm sorry, Father. I hope he get over it. You know, that brief moment that he couldn't cross the street because I was in his way. I hope he gets over that. Glory to God. But that's where we are. We're, you know, we're human flesh is selfish, mean-spirited, unthankful, ungrateful. That whole list in 2 Peter, you know, haters of what is good and so forth and so on. That's just human nature, fallen human nature. And so to revile means to hurl insults against, as people did against the Lord, or as one of the thieves did on the cross. And when I think about that, I pray for our president. And I don't stop there. I pray for all of Congress. And our nine justices, we don't know what goes up on that place, but, you know, I pray for them too. Don't stop there. Pray for all the state legislatures and the governors, and pray for those who are in authority. Isn't that what First Peter said? We already went through that. Pray, pray, church, pray. Because we say things that we have no business saying. And a lot of times we do it in response to someone says something mean to us. And we feel like vengeance is mine. I will repay. I ain't waiting on her. No, I'm going to fix this one. That's the way we feel oftentimes. No. He can't get up in your feelings. Life is not about how we feel. That's the way a lot of the world is living, but life is not based on, you don't respond to life based upon how you feel. It gets you in deep trouble. Now, okay, so he says, don't return evil for evil, don't revile, but listen to this, but on the contrary, listen to what he says, blessing. Blessing. Now, here's where we need to put it in park and spend a while. The word for blessing, guess what the word for blessing is in the Greek? Eulogio. Eulogio, which is where we get our word eulogy, which is associated with funerals. Eulogio means simply to speak well of, to praise. It is, Proverbs 27:2 says, let not thine own mouth praise you, but another's. Huh? Let not thine own mouth, but another. But it's good to praise someone for what they did that's good or noble or righteous. It's good. We need to do that, right? The New Testament even tells us to do that. But the scripture says, listen, get ready. For those who do evil towards you and for those who speak horribly against you, bless them. I'm going to let that sink in. Let it sink in. Because, now, some of us had opportunity to do this past week. May have missed an opportunity, but God says, don't worry. Because this week, some of us in here are going to have opportunity to use this. Why? Because it's reality in the world we live in. Just as sure as we're sitting here, it's coming your way. It's a letter with your name on it. and it's going to hit home. And so this word says that we are to speak well of. Now, obviously, if we speak well of someone who's doing or bless someone who's doing evil toward us or speaking against us, then we obviously would do the same toward someone who's doing us right. Amen? But look, in the Old Testament, you'll remember in Numbers chapter 6, as the law was being established and all of this, The Lord spoke to Moses in verse 22, Numbers 6:22, and said, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel.'" In other words, the children of Israel were not only blessed because God determined that he would bless them, but he had Aaron speak a blessing over the people. Speak a blessing over the people. And this is, you know, the blessing. It says this: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Now, you say, "Well, what on earth am I supposed to say when someone does me wrong? I'm supposed to bless them." Well, let's start off with this: "The Lord bless you and keep you." And you don't even have to say it to them, but say it towards them. Amen? Because this is the Old Testament, but the church, we're coming to the New Testament. It's about to get real. Okay, so you know, what if instead of belittling Russell Moore, Jerry Falwell Jr. would have not said, you know, "Hey, who are you? And what have you done? What authority do you have? On what basis can you even open up your mouth?" And what if he just simply would have said, "Russell Moore, I bless you. I know the Lord is your Savior. He's my Savior. And we're, you know, I'm not going to be at odds with you. I'm not going to have ill thoughts or ill feelings toward you." What if he just simply spoken well of him? Because that's what our Lord and our Master is requiring of us. I was just talking to my friend Tim before church, and he was telling me about a situation where someone talks one way behind people's backs, but then up in their face, totally different tune, claiming to be a Christian. "No, church, that doesn't work." Yeah, that came up too. Two-faced. Two-faced. Talking out both sides of your mouth. You know. So, when we curse or speak corruptly about someone, it reveals the sources of our actions, which is an evil heart. But when we bless those who curse us, it reveals the source of blessing, which is the living God. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when I'm in a situation and talking with people and there's just darkness and vitriol and hatred coming out of someone's heart, out of their mouth, I'm like, no, this won't do. Especially if they're Christian, knowing that change needs to come within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, so the blessing that I just shared was the Old Testament. We saw the high priest, the Old Testament priestly blessing. In the New Testament, you remember in Luke chapter 24 where the Lord was meeting with the disciples? And it says that he walked with them. He led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Okay. So number six was the Old Testament high priest blessing. In Luke 24 is the New Testament. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. That was the last time they saw Jesus. The last time the disciples saw Jesus, he was blessing them. He was speaking good to them. He was speaking well over them. You see, in the scripture says that you and I are blessed with all the every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And guess what? You and I are spoken well of before God the Father. Why? Because we're blessed. And we're spoken well of because of what Christ did on the cross. Amen? Now, because we are blessed that way, then what are we to dish out? You see, because the blessing doesn't stop having come to us. God didn't intend for the blessing to stop having come to us. Remember what he said according to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant. He says, "Abraham, in blessing you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth." The blessing that comes to you and I never is supposed to stop with us. It's never supposed to stop with us, right? And so, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus said this: "You heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I never see this up on people's refrigerator. I always see Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. I never see this scripture. Hello. Come on now. I mean, there's reason. Listen, from the moment you get up and get, look, you turn on your news and get offended. You get in your car and get offended just driving to work because somebody going to cut you off and maybe cuss you out just going to work. Oh, come on. And then on and on and on it goes. But Jesus said, now listen, let me go down a little further into this, because I want you to listen at what Jesus said. He says, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45 says this, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Okay. Now, watch what he ties that to. For he makes his son rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now, what is that saying? Jesus is saying the Father is good to the evil and the unjust. And since the Father is good to the evil and the unjust, and we are sons and daughters of God, then we ought to be good and bless the evil and the unjust. See, he's good to all. Ain't it hard? Ain't it hard? Yeah. This thing going all through me. When I'm studying the scriptures, this thing working me over. I'm like, and I'm crying out to God, Father, help me live this. Help me live. Help this to be my reality in every way. From the meditation of my own heart, may it be accepted in thy sight. Yes. From what comes out of my mouth and what the impulse of when anything happens to me, to everything that I do, Lord, I want to live this way. I want to live this way. I told my daughter last night I was upset. I get upset because I'm walking Friday, and I don't know how many of you know, but I'm a black man. Okay, just want to make that clear. Anyhow. So I'm walking, and I have on a black cap and a black blazer or Nike jacket, and I'm walking, and I feel good, and I'm walking fast, and I'm getting down with it. But I see this woman, she's walking the dog, and she's white. It matters. I say that because to get it in context to show you what, you know, I have to say that because, And so her dog, she's walking her dog, and her dog stops to do whatever, sniff something or whatever. And so she looks behind her, you know, as most people do, you walk, you know, and she looks behind you, and she sees me, and I'm at a good clip, I'm coming, you know. And when her dog got done with doing what he was doing, she started speeding up. She started getting down. Now, there's a reason why she started doing that. Yeah. See, we're all affected by all of our environment. We are. You may think you're not, but you are. And she started getting down. And I said to my, I'm talking to Jesus, I said, Lord, she ain't gonna make it. Because I haven't walked in a while, which means I'm strong and I'm getting down and I'm coming up on her. And I'm not gonna slow my pace because you think this boy gonna do something. I'm like, are you serious? And the problem was the dog wasn't working with her because the dog went a little bit and the dog stopped. And she trying to pull it and the dog stopped again. And I'm looking at this, I'm saying, Jesus. Father, we need your help. Father, we need your help. And I said, Lord, I ain't going to slacken my pace because I'm out here getting my exercise. So I'm working, and finally I get up to where she is. And I was about to say, you know, you really need to calm down. You really need to see. See, because if I was to be honest with you, I should be running from you. I should be running from you. Because if anybody gonna get in trouble in this thing, it's not you.
It's me. Hello. So I walk right on past her, getting up. Just walk right on past and going on and praying for her. But I'm praying for her while I walk past her. I said, Lord, see, because she's heard. Yeah, growing up, you hear, hey, he might get you. He might do something to you. No, I'm the one going to help you when something goes down. And I'm there. Oh, I got a knife in my pocket. You say you got a knife? I'm thinking about packing a Yeah, because my wife just shared with me, a 72-year-old man went for a walk in Herndon, and three dogs, like, dragged him all over the, was it Herndon? What was it? Maryland. Three dogs dragged him all over the place. He got, tried to get him on the car. They dragged him off the car, biting this poor man. I said, my goodness. You shoot the dog, people want to lock you up. Huh? Why is that? Because we value dog's life more than we love. Why do I pray all day? I tell you why I pray all day. Because we are messed up. We get on our left hand from our right. I love animals too. But I love every human. I'll take a human over a dog any day. Come on. You're made in the image of God. Come on. Now you done got me off. Now let me get back on this. Now, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Paul comes behind that and says in Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not curse. Now, this word curse means to speak ill of. So it's not just cussing someone out, which is why I pray for our Congress so much. Because I know born-again congressmen and women, quote-unquote born-again, who say things, and I'm like, how can you say that? How? Oh, God, help us. Have mercy on them. Forgive them. Help them. Humble. Help them to receive instruction, correction, wisdom, knowledge. And we need all these things. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul said, and we labor, the apostles, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. He said, people speak evil of us, but we keep blessing them. We keep blessing them. We keep blessing them. That's what we're called to do. And then James says in James 3:9, speaking of the tongue, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Oh, my goodness. And then when I read that, the Holy Spirit is searching through the files of my life, the files of my mouth, to convict me of where I have blessed God and then turned around and cursed someone made in the image of God. With it we bless God, with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. They ought not to be so. Wherefore, we cry out to God for help, because it's there. And so he says, that on the contrary, speak blessing over people. Why? Knowing that you were called to this, called to what? That you may inherit a blessing. The one commentary I read I think it was Barnes' commentary, says, anyone who has been called to eternal life should only have good things to say, because your future is set. You are blessed. No matter what anyone does to you in this life, your future is set in the blessing of God, in the eternal salvation which he has secured for us. And that is true. The problem comes with what our focus is. See? So what our focus is, if our focus is not on our eternal inheritance and what God has procured for us through Christ, then we will be short-sighted. And when someone curses us, we say, man, is that all you can do? I got one better for you. You know, I can out-curse you. And like I told you a few weeks ago, I know Christians, curse so bad make you, you would run out the room. So, again, the word blessing is eulogia, means fine speaking, elegance of language, commendation, fair speech, blessing. And so Peter here takes us all the way back to the beginning when he says you're called to inherit a blessing, because in the beginning First Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who through his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he goes on and on and talks about to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. We have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and it lasts forever. And it's reserved. It's got your name on it. It's got my name on it. And it's in heaven. And that's where we're going. And since that is the case, what anyone says to you, what anyone does to you, here, bless them. When they're coming to kill Jesus, and Peter cuts off the ear, Jesus reaches down and he blesses this man. Here, have your ear back, fully functioning and working. Come on. When the thief on the cross reviled him, if you are the Son of God, don't just save you. Get off the cross and save us too, if you really are the Son of God. Jesus turned to the one thief and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. When he was reviled, he did not revile again. That is to be my experience. That is to be your experience by the grace of God. Amen. And then let me close just by reading the balance of it. What Peter lists here in Psalms 34 and 37 is the life of one who is seeking the blessing of God. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And this simply emphasizes what Peter has already been instructing the saints with. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen. All right, I know I went a little bit long. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. 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 Father, we bless you today. Father, we thank you that we've been called to inherit a blessing. I thank you that right now you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as you chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be before you without reproach and without blame in love, your word declares. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that this word would bring forth fruit in our lives. Lord, that we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And Father, that this would be a living reality. And Father, as people, Lord, speak ill of us, and at times as people do evil things to us, I pray by the well of the grace of God within us that we would be able to respond the way your son responded and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Help us, Father, Lord, to be transformed and conformed into your image, that the world might know the blessing of God that comes through our Lord and Savior. And we ask this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.